There are currently 914 Costco locations worldwide. They have opened warehouses in 14 countries, and within North America, there's usually at least one store within every major metropolitan area, and each one of them has changed the economy directly surrounding it in some unintuitive ways. Their busiest location, by far, is probably not where you would expect it. It's actually down here, just on the outskirts of Honolulu in Hawaii. Despite being only the 56th largest city in America and having three other Costco locations within an hour's drive, there is a good reason why this particular location does so much business, and that will all start to make sense as you unpack Costco's unique approach to local economics. While the company doesn't release any official data on individual stores, the best estimate that can be made from their public financials is that this location alone did almost half $1 billion in sales within the last financial year. By revenue, this would make this one single store larger than most public companies. For comparison, that's more money going through these registers than the global operations of Denny's and Smith & Wesson. Now, apart from being possibly the most American sentence I've ever spoken, it highlights how these retail hubs can become a massive influence on a local economy, easily on par with other major employers like factories or mines. But then the question becomes, is that influence for the best? There's a well-studied phenomenon that occurs when a big-box retailer like a Walmart opens within a local area. Because of their huge economies of scale and unassailable pricing power, they force out smaller local competitors. The rate of business closures materially increases on blocks surrounding a new Walmart location, and when they become the only employer in town, it also pushes local wages down. This process is seen so consistently that economists have simply dubbed it the Walmart effect. Now, you might look at a Costco and see another large, low-price, big-box retailers and reasonably conclude that their effect would be exactly the same, right? Yes, of course, Costco requires a membership, but at their heart, they're both large variety retail operations that compete by offering lower prices than their competitors. However, despite these surface-level similarities, the recorded effect of a Costco opening is almost exactly the opposite. In 2023, Costco opened its 851st location in Gunma Prefecture, about an hour's drive outside of Tokyo. This area had not been immune to Japan's wider economic stagnation. Wages were suppressed and local businesses were running on razor-thin margins. Despite being close to the largest city in the world, Gunma primarily consisted of small farms, run-down warehouses, and local retailers serving local, cost-conscious customers. But everything changed when the local Costco was built. When the company went and plonked a massive superstore right in the middle of what was a rice field, it radically reshaped the area. The first thing to change were local wages. Unlike the infamous Walmart effect, Costco pays even its entry-level floor staff very well. In Japan, these generous salaries were a big departure from most employers who hadn't given broad pay rises since the 1990s. In Gunma, people could work for the equivalent of $6.50 US an hour in local stores, farms, or warehouses. Or they could get a job at Costco, which was offering a starting salary of $10 an hour. For most locals, the choice was pretty clear, which forced surrounding businesses to raise wages to keep their staff. Within the first 3 months following the opening of Costco, local businesses reported paying their staff 40% more than they had before. Now, you might have expected that this would strain these small businesses that were already struggling to keep the lights on, but again, the opposite was true. Most of them saw a significant increase in foot traffic and revenues after this center opened. Unlike a Walmart or other similar retailers, Costco stores become a destination, attracting shoppers from a much wider area rather than just serving the community that was already there. A trip to Costco is something that average shoppers plan for in advance and don't do nearly as frequently as going to a regular retailer, and that's reflected in the data. The market research firm Numerator found that Costco shoppers went to the store half as often as Walmart shoppers, but when they were there, they spent more than twice as much on average. This data also self-selects for the fact that Costco shoppers need to pay a membership, and a lot of them will also shop at a Walmart or similar local alternative for their day-to-day needs. What this all means is that for an out-of-the-way town like Gunma in Japan, a Costco acted like a magnet, attracting people from more populated areas to come and do their shopping. Once they'd driven more than an hour from their home to get there, some of these customers were more motivated to make a day out of it by grabbing lunch at a local restaurant, assuming they didn't feel like a 200 yen glizzy in the Costco cafeteria. Now, this particular example was in Japan, but across the world, the same effects are routinely witnessed. A Costco raises the floor on wages, but it makes up for it by bringing in more customers to an area. Now, especially in lower income areas, a new Costco also lets local businesses do something else that's just as important as it is unintuitive. It lets them raise prices. Now, I promise I'll explain how that can be a good thing, but to do that, we also need to address a bigger question. A company can't run off good vibes and helping out the little guy because it's a nice thing to do. So, what's in all of this for Costco and their shareholders? It's not just Costco that gets your data when you sign up for a membership. Hundreds of companies hold your data, and some of them aren't so good at keeping it safe. That's why we're very pleased to be sponsored by Incogni. Your data is probably available online for scammers and spammers to buy. It's not your fault, it's mostly because big companies were careless with your data, even ones you'd think you could trust, like big banks, social media networks, or your ISP. So to stay ahead of the hackers and identity thieves, you can use Incogni to automatically scrub your existence from hundreds of known data brokers, where criminals could have found your email addresses, phone numbers, home address, and more. Poof, gone. They can't steal your identity if they have no idea who you are. Incogni can even delete specific instances of your info being leaked online. Just Google yourself, and you might be surprised to find that news sites or even fitness apps are holding your info and sharing it. So if you go to incogni.com/micro or use our code micro at the link below, you'll not only get 60% off the annual plan, but you'll also be supporting this channel to continue making videos like the one you're watching. It's easy to anthropomorphize businesses and conclude that one has a nicer intention than the other. But the reality is that all public companies are beholden to their shareholders, who want to see maximized returns. The difference only comes from how they achieve that goal. Costco has cultivated a very good reputation with its employees and customers thanks to the way it's approached the market. In what limited public relations they do, the company is always quick to highlight their simple 4-point code of ethics. Obey the law, take care of our members, take care of our employees, and respect our suppliers. It sounds reasonable enough, but here's the thing. Almost every large public-facing company in the world has something similar. Here's Walmart's, here's Tesco's, here's Lockheed Martin's, and here is, or was, Enron's. These are basically always just standard-issue corporate wank to give new hires something to read on their first day in the office. But Costco might actually be slightly different because of one line that most people would probably ignore. If we obey the law, take care of members, employees, and suppliers, then we will achieve our ultimate goal, which is to reward our shareholders. Credit where credit's due, they are being honest that the only reason they are not openly breaking the law is because it's just bad for business. By that same logic, they aren't building up local economies and wasting billions of dollars on higher staff salaries every year for the warm fuzzies. They're doing it because it's good business. They are doing it to achieve their ultimate goal of rewarding their shareholders. Higher wages are a calculated choice which works in their business for three reasons. The first is that it does give them a bit of good PR. The brand perception of Costco is very valuable, and it helps to keep their members renewing every year. When it comes time to pay that annual fee again, a lot of people won't mind if they think they're supporting a business that supports their people. Doing whatever they can to maintain memberships is critically important because the rest of the business effectively breaks even after accounting for their self-inflicted low margins and higher than average expenses. But beyond that, competitive wages are a calculated decision to cut down on staff turnover, and all you need to see this is to look at it both ways. On one hand, they pay their staff well above industry standard rates for a job that doesn't require a college degree. But on the other hand, their staff won't be able to find another job that pays as well unless they get a college degree. This means Costco is effectively buying staff loyalty, which for them has been a very good purchase. Hiring and training new staff to work across their stores takes a lot of time, and it's not cheap. the industry standard churn rate for retail employees in big box stores is 60%, which means if 100 people start at the beginning of the year, only 40 of them will be left at the end. At Costco, by comparison, that churn rate is only 5.5%, saving them more on training and hiring expenses than they lose through those higher wages. But then, if just paying a good wage actually saves the business money, why don't the other big retailers do the same? Well, a report by the Harvard Business Review actually looked into that exact question, and they found that it only really worked for certain business models. Walmart, by comparison, runs on a churn and burn model that goes all the way up to the store level. Costco rarely, if ever, shuts down a store once it's established, and in the rare instances where they do, it's usually only because they've moved to a bigger location in the same area that'll be operated by the same staff members. Walmart, by comparison, closes down stores all the time, and the roles that the team members play are more compartmentalized and easier to replace. There's also a greater promise of career progression. Walmart has more than 7 times as many stores, which means 7 times as many management positions up for grabs. Those management roles pay extremely well, and for some people, it makes slugging it out in a minimum wage job worth it to justify the opportunity to climb up the ladder. Costco, by comparison, doesn't pay its management staff as competitively, and there are just naturally fewer positions on offer anyway because they run fewer locations. This means Costco needs to keep its staff satisfied with the job they have rather than one they could potentially get. Now, whatever the business reasoning, the effect on the local economy is still the same. A lot of people earning a good wage has a lot more of an impact than 2 or 3 people earning an astronomical wage. But again, for Costco, this is all part of the plan. Costco is not in competition with local business. In fact, it relies on them. A large portion of their overall revenue is driven by those same businesses stocking up on their own supplies. Costco blurs the line between a wholesale outlet and a retail store, which is ideal for small hospitality businesses in particular, who may not have the scale to order in bulk directly from suppliers. This symbiotic relationship is further supported by another big misconception about the business. Costco is famous for having an extensive variety of products on offer, from gold bars and fine jewelry to coffins and your annual supply of loo roll. It seems like you really can buy anything from these stores. However, Costco actually offers far fewer individual items than other big box retailers. Walmart manages over 100,000 different stockkeeping units. Amazon manages 600 million, while Costco only maintains around 4,000. One of the reasons for this is that while something like a jar of Nutella might be offered in several different sizes at a regular grocery store, at Costco you're getting it in a one-size-fits-all bucket or you're not getting it at all. This leaves an opportunity for local businesses to fill in niche markets, often by breaking up and selling the same items they purchased from Costco warehouses. A 2019 study published by the University of Massachusetts and the National Bureau of Economic Analysis found that after a Costco opened in a local area, prices at local businesses rose, but the reason why this was happening was because the Costco allowed them to move into higher margin products. People coming into the area on a shopping trip, in addition to the staff earning good wages, stimulated local demand, and more importantly, there wasn't the same need to supply budget items to cost-conscious consumers. If people needed groceries, they would go to Costco. But if they wanted something more unique, they would still need to patron local businesses. In plain English, prices rise, but buyer power is maintained because people have more money and a cost-effective supply of the essentials. It's almost like Costco is gentrifying an area in the best way possible. Back in Hawaii, this effect is particularly strong. Due to the logistical challenges of getting consumer staples shipped into the middle of the Pacific Ocean, a bulk supplier like Costco has become a linchpin for both consumers and small businesses. Prices are still much higher here than they are on the mainland, but they are significantly better than dozens of individual businesses trying to organize their own shipping. In its own weird way, the world's busiest Costco has also become a tourist destination in its own right. Most big box retailers can't get people to travel more than 15 minutes to do their shopping without it being too inconvenient. Costco can get people to travel across half an ocean. It's all the result of a business plan made to maximize shareholder value just like any other, but has been undeniably effective. However, for all its successes, it's still not as large or dominant as Walmart, a company that has been the counterpoint to everything that made Costco successful. Watch this video next to find out how they did everything differently and still became one of the most powerful private economic entities in the world.